house was to be erected. Sadly, the late Mr. Pargiter had not survived to see the project finished, but his widow lived in some style in the completed mansion. And when life in Essex became too dull, Mrs. Pargiter could always nip up to London for a little pampering at Green's Hotel, where the manager, Hedge Clipper Clinton, would unfailingly have a suite available for her. It was, he frequently said, the least he could offer, given how much her late husband had done for him in his previous career. So, how did Mrs. Pargiter spend the oodles of cash that she had inherited? Apart from some essential pampering of herself, she channeled the funds into the kind of philanthropic causes of which the late Mr. Pargiter would have approved. In many cases, these would involve helping out former associates of his who had fallen on hard times. And it was on just such a mission of mercy that Mrs. Pargiter found herself having coffee in a private room at Green's Hotel, being introduced to another of her husband's former associates. The man had worked in an accountancy capacity for the late Mr. Pargiter, but he was called Shorthead Shimmings because of his sideline as an unofficial bookmaker, and a short head was the distance which most of the horses he backed lost by. Also present at the meeting were two other gentlemen who had benefited from the late Mr. Pargiter's largesse. The aforementioned Hedge Clipper Clinton's route from running a cafe of dubious reputation to becoming the Green's Hotel's manager had been eased by a considerable injection of cash from his former employer. And Truffler Mason, a tall, lugubrious figure with remarkable intuitive skills in rooting out evidence and finding missing persons, had been established by Mr. Pargiter as a private investigator in the Mason de Vere Detective Agency. He was up for any kind of inquiry, but would put everything else to one side if the summons came for him to help Mrs. Pargiter. Shorthead Shimmings, it should be said, was built on the model of a pencil, uniformly thin, without visible protuberances other than his arms. He was taller than Truffler, which was saying something, and the length of his face and neck gave the lie to his nickname of Short Head. The hotelier and the private investigator had provided Mrs. Pargiter with some useful background information about the case under discussion. As was his philanthropic habit, the late Mr. Pargiter had set up Shorthead Shimmings in his own betting shop at an ideal high street location in one of London's more salubrious eastern suburbs. And nothing should have got in the way of the business's booming success. The thing that did get in the way of it, however, was that tragic quality which has been much written about by Shakespeare and various Greek playwrights, a fatal flaw in Shorthead Shimmings's personality. He was addicted to gambling. As well as enjoying a wager, Shorthead Shimmings was something of a dandy. Well, he would have been something of a dandy in the 1950s. Long jacket, drainpipe trousers, and thick-soled shoes in true Teddy Boy style. And he wore his dyed black hair in an Elvis quip. So he was not afraid of making himself conspicuous. This was something which might cause problems, given the difficulty in which the bookmaker found himself, as explained by Truffler Mason.
Shorthead was telling Hedge Clipper and me that he's got into a bit of trouble with debt.
Debt? Mrs. Pargiter echoed. Her hand reached instinctively to her handbag, in which she kept an item probably unfamiliar to the younger generation, a checkbook. She preferred the traditional ways of banking to all that vulnerable online business. If it's just a matter of money...
No, said Truffler. Well, that is to say, obviously there is money involved, but the problem is more a matter of who the money is owed to.
Oh? Mrs. Pargiter sounded, as ever, blissfully innocent.